Welcome to the Shoot the Breeze podcast with your host Vinny, Rob and Nello. This podcast contains strong language throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody and welcome to episode number 85 of the Shoot the Breeze podcast. Is it 85? It is 85.
I think it is, but your confidence has just floored me. It's not like... It's normally, what episode are we on? What's going on? Do you know what? I don't even care if we're not on episode 85. I'm going to call episode 85 regardless because of that gusto.
No, we definitely are.
That gusto that you've just started with.
It is 85.
Savage.
Well, welcome everybody. Apologies for missing out last week. We just had, I think it was my fault. I had a lot of stuff going on. And I wasn't around.
Mixture of a few.
Exactly.
I think all three of us at different stages had bits on. But look,
I was moving.
It's kind of strange. It's like we can't do anything, but yet there's stuff going on. You know. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like it's a very quiet time, but yet it's quite busy in a way. There's just like I don't know.
You've a baby.
That's a massive thing. But I suppose it's also that like if you have something planned, that's it. Like you're sticking to that plan.
True.
I think that's probably what it is. Like if you have a plan to do something, you're fucking doing it. Like you know, you're not letting anything come in the way. So.
I've been busy enough though with like people want videos.
Yeah, I was telling you. You're saying you're flat out filming stuff for everybody.
Yeah, like filming and mostly editing. Like so, there's different programs. Like loads of colleges have gone online and they need people to edit their fucking lectures and stuff. So, but it's been just moving last week threw me off. Like I never had to move. Gaff properly, like where you actually had to move everything that you have out of one place, and that was a fucking nightmare. But
is the worst.
I don't know how you'd done it from the UK back to here. That just was baffles my mind.
Not enjoyable at all.
I emigrated to south of the Liffey. It's been good. It's new.
Taking the Queen's shilling and everything.
Going to start throwing stuff at Leinster Rugby Club just because I can. It's good. It's good crack. It's actually, the place is deadly. The area is savage. I need to get out of the habit of fucking Deliveroo though because Deliveroo over here is a game changer. It's like nothing is, nothing's out of reach. It's dangerous.
Yeah, I'd say it is like it's especially because you're kind of so close to town, everything will deliver to you you're spoiled for choice. Mm-hmm. It's like anytime I'm in London, I'm like, oh fuck, because you can literally scroll through like hundreds of pages on delivery or whatever or Uber Eats or something like that, and just like, oh god,
here's another thing.
So much choice, though, no?
Yeah, no, you completely. Yeah, you get. You get bamboozled with the amount of choice. Like you say you want a burger, but there's like 500 different burger places.
It becomes like Netflix. You just end up looking at the app for like fucking an hour. Then you're like, oh, I forgot I was so, like hungry.
But yeah, exactly. I'm not hungry anymore. I'm just going to have some cereal.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. But another strange thing, I didn't realize this until about 3 or 4 days in. My new housemate was like, did you tell your insurance company that you moved your car insurance company? And I was like, oh no, actually I didn't even think of that. And she was like, I'm telling you, give them a ring, like you'll be surprised. My insurance came down 144 quid.
Yeah, that I had the same thing when I moved from Salford.
Yeah. And now apparently, right? So I was getting a lot of shtick off my family for this because they were like, oh laddie da, Mr. fucking D forehead, insurance goes down. My mom was telling this to a neighbor. He moved from Malahide to Swords and his insurance went down. That's more shocking to me than me moving to the south side and my insurance going down. And the thing is, right, again, housemate made a very good point. Your car is actually safer in Swords than your car would be where I am on, say, a rugby match day or a football match day. Like, I'm literally on the same road as the stadium.
Yeah, but you got to kind of think of the clientele that would normally be frequenting the RDS or the Three Arena for a rugby game. They're not really the smash your car up type.
Yeah, but for the football.
You know, if you are parked over by, like, Bose or Shell Stadium, then that's a different story, like, you know. But like, you're parked kind of where Tarquin and Fintan aren't gonna exactly scuff up their dupes trying to kick through your window, like, you know.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be able to get in much grip with their deck shoes, like, you know, so or they might rip their chinos. So yeah, I don't like I'm a massive Leinster fan. I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, but,
you're a massive Leinster fan called Vincent. So you're not like a million miles away from me, you know?
Yeah, Vincent the second.
Yeah, Junior. Yeah, stop. But that's weird. Not to say, like, we're all born and raised in Swords, but, like, not to say, like Malahide has a bit of a complex. People in Malahide think that they're fucking deadly. Now, it is a really nice place to live, but it's a nice place because it's beside the seaside, like, you know, that's kind of, it's not like architecturally beautiful. It's not as if every, like, house over there is, like, unbelievable. Like, yes, there are some nice houses and there's some nice housing estates and stuff like that, but at the same time, it's not as if it's, like, you're not going up like.
Malahide has good restaurants, whereas Swords has good pubs.
Yeah,
Malahide has one, maybe two decent pubs, but that's about it. But they have great restaurants. Swords restaurants aren't as good as them.
Hmm.
Yeah, the restaurant game in Swords has always been a bit lacking. It's got better in recent years for sure, but it's still not up. It's not up to the level that Malahide is yet.
No.
I think it will. And it's kind of surprising because you think how big Swords is and the amount of people that actually live in Swords.
Yeah. I don't feel like there's the right space in Swords. I think they, like, because you think there's a few spaces where there's been like four different restaurants and they've all failed. Like, but there's one spot down the village that literally anything that opens in it fails. And then they just open a different, like, 1 week it's a Mexican, the next week it's a fucking Italian.
Yeah.
You know,
really long restaurant.
It's the oddest building of all. Like, we've got some, like, in fairness, Pomodorino could potentially be one of the best pizzas in Dublin. And that's in Swords. Like, these are things people need to actually fucking try keep in Swords.
And that comes with the authentic, big, sweaty Italian angry man as well.
It does, yeah. And his wife was also extremely angry. I said to her one day, I was talking about 40500 on Cable Street or on Dame Street. And I was like, they've just opened a Napoleon, I guess is the word. Neapolitan oven pizza place on Dame Street. Did you know about it? And she went absolutely fucking ape shit. And she was like, they're not fucking Italian. They're not authentic fucking Italian. She was like, I know the woman. She's Irish. Her fucking husband is Moroccan. They're not Italian. Don't believe a thing they said. And I was like, okay, can I have my pizza, please? Pretty passionate about what they do.
I'd love if she was like, if the woman in Pomodoro was actually like from China or something like that.
But like, we've got places like that, and like, but the problem is that end of Swords Village for some reason is just fucking devastatingly bad. Like,
it's because that bus stop.
It is,
and I hate to say it, but it's the bus stop going up to Swords Manor. and it's also the bus stop that goes to Balbriggan and to Donabate, and I'm not casting aspersions here, but the types that do be hanging around there, they're not the desirables. They're not the most desirable types that you want loitering around the front of your business. Yeah, like, you know,
because it is what I think actually ruined that end of the village.
Weirdos hanging around that bus stop.
Do you know what ruined that? Yeah. What ruined that end of the village? And obviously I have grievances with them anyway. But the council offices are just the biggest load of shite to have down that end of the village. They don't do anything. It doesn't, like, it's just a big massive building with nothing around it. Like, that could have been like a much way better planned. And they're
Has Star sorted itself out?
No.
Star
closed up.
No.
Because they used to have then there was the Eastern European nightclub next to it.
Mm.
Part of it. Yeah. but the music the star, shop, that's all.
Star has potential. If someone put a good chunk of money into that, they would get...
Well, they have the pool hall. Is that not on top of the Star now? Or no, that's on top of Khao San.
Yeah, Khao San.
Isn't it?
Which, but like Khao San is also closed as well and has been closed down since they had like something...
Yeah, I think there's a roof, like. Structural damage in that building, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so but how is there structural damage when there's a pool hall opened up above where the structural damage was?
Yeah. That's Swords for you. But that's my dad always says when he moved into Swords that the Star was just like the pub where if you walked in, everyone was like, y'all city folk lost kind of place. Like you walked into the Star and it was like, you're not from around here.
Yeah, it's actually huge. The Star is massive.
For a drink. Pound, I felt like that. Everybody just turned and looked at you.
Yeah. Oh, downstairs in the Pound?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like the... Yeah, I think them lads were like born in the fucking wood of the bar or something. Them lads that all drink downstairs in the Pound.
Yeah. The Pound is a great... is a lovely spot, but it is... It's very small, so everybody does know everybody's name. Yeah. That's the only thing. And like... And when you're down there, it's just like... If you're not down there all the time, it is kind of like they do look at you a bit funny because I've gone there once or twice for pints before, and normally before we go up to the attic, and it's always like anytime that we're there, it's always like everybody's looking at you. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like I'm born and raised in Swords, and I feel so awkward about being in this bar. Like,
has there ever been a different like two pubs that are the same, like they're the one pub essentially, the attic and the Pound are the same pub, right? But totally different ends of the fucking spectrum, like totally different ends of the spectrum. And then you get the odd fella who goes up probably and goes gets himself a fancy beer or something. He's like, oh, I'll go upstairs and get me a fancy beer. And then he just then he just gives the lads dogs abuse and goes back down to the Pound and just orders his spit water out of tap.
Yeah, slags. All the young fellas upstairs.
Yeah. All them Nancy boys up there
drinking their fruit beers. Oh, stop.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to shoot in a pub today, lads. It was a strange experience.
What pub are you in?
I was shooting a promo for a startup. And it was in, so it's, I don't know, I can't obviously talk too much about it, but it's not, I'm not the startup, I'm nothing to do with it. But it was in a pub in Kimmage, which is now within my 5k apparently, or close enough to it, and it was just strange. It was real dead. Like, they hadn't done anything in the pub since Christmas. Like, there was just Christmas decorations everywhere, and it was fucking weird.
I have never been to Kimmage except for on a Monopoly board. Whereabouts is Kimmage?
It's kind of like between Rathgar and Crumlin, I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay.
Between Redgar and Dolphin's Barn are kind of area, you know? But it was strange being in a pub. Like, it just looks like the fucking... Like, it's... I don't know. Weird. You know, weird kind being empty and...
Post-apocalyptic kind
of
vibe.
That's what it felt like. That's actually what it felt like. It felt like... Because it's... it was one of our friends, like, two of us were shooting it, and we were just kind of saying... It doesn't even feel like missing like points around, because like we were like, oh, we miss having points and all together, but the pub just felt dead. It was fucking mad. Like, obviously it is dead, but seeing Christmas decor, and your man came in at the end of the shoot and he was like, yeah, no, we just really haven't had a chance to do anything with the place. Like, there's been no reason to, you know, they won't tell us we're open until fucking, you know, there's no set time or set date and all. It's just a strange old feeling. And what it looks like isn't gonna change much until probably, I don't know, June or something.
Yeah. I kind of like, yeah, numbers are going down, and we've had a couple of days where we've been under 1,000. I think yesterday there was like, 500 or
580
or something. Yeah. Or 550 or something, yeah.
But it's back up to over 1,000 today, like, you know, so we're kind of, we're hovering around those 1,000s, kind of just above, just under, like, you know, so.
Yeah.
And we still have a bit to go. Like, I know the current restrictions, they're up in whatever the start of March, but they're just going to be extended for another whatever 5 or 6 weeks on top of that, like, you know, they're just doing it in 6 week kind of bunches, like, you know, or in 6 week blocks to kind of make everybody feel better or whatever. But
yeah
it's an odd one. It's gonna be fucking weird. I was recording a podcast today with with a couple of industry guys and just talking about like when we think the music industry is going to get back on its feet and like, and what, like there is a sense out there within the industry that the appetite for people to go back to live gigs is there and it's strong. But at the same time, it's like we're kind of asking ourselves, being like, well, at the moment, would we feel comfortable in a venue with a couple of thousand people or whatever? Like, and I suppose it's kind of like making us look in on ourselves and being like, well, if everybody was vaccinated or you had to show that you have your vaccine before you can go to a venue or a gig or whatever, then it'd be like, oh, yeah, then in a heartbeat, I'd have no issue with it.
I saw something interesting. Joe Rogan's Instagram yesterday. He posted a photo with him and Dave Chappelle. And I think Dave Chappelle got COVID like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago or something. But they are back. So they're all after moving to Austin and they're gigging in Austin in Texas, because Texas is Texas, you know. And but they're actually getting everyone COVID tested before they get into the venue, like. Which,
yeah, cause, sure, that's what Joe Rogan has been doing for people on his podcast.
Like, yeah, but now he's after expanding. That's expanded now to, like, you know, a couple of thousand seater venues.
Wow. So, that's like, that can't be cheap. Like, the ticket price then must be massive, or it's being subsidized, or they're not making and they're taking reduced fee or something, because.
I'd say what they're doing is though. Expensive. Like what they're doing is also Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle probably don't really need money at this stage, because like you can be sure as shit
that they're not doing it for the goodness out of their own.
You've no material if you're a stand-up comedian unless you're working, and like Netflix will just pay them. Like Netflix will say, oh, we'll use our gig, and do you want to record a special? We'll give you 60 million quid. Like, so they're probably just doing it to workshop stuff and probably get out there and get live or whatever, but like it's fucking, I don't even know what the test cost or what, I've never looked into like what it costs per test or whatever, but it looks
in Ireland it's, you can get a private test and it's like
it's €100.
I mean the actual, like, so like for us getting a private test, I mean like how much the actual test itself costs. And I think, see, I've seen a few people get tested in America. Like I know Zach Braff got tested on his Instagram, and it was only like, they literally have like a fucking earbud and they just swab the front of your nose and then they're just like, oh, that's grand, you don't have COVID. Like in Ireland, they're only short of picking your brain out. Like,
and I think in China now they can go up your arse and test you. I think now, do you know actually who told me that? The nurse, when I was giving blood. So they're in the know.
I know, no, I had heard that they were expanding the testing to other kind of probes. But
other orifices.
Sticking a nanny hole and see if you have COVID.
Jesus Christ. That is one way of doing it. But also, obviously the Super Bowl was on at the weekend, and like the hashtag super spreader bowl was trending on Twitter and stuff like that, because they had something like, was it 16 or 24,000?
I had it on here in the background when I was editing, and I heard 25,000 at one point.
Yeah, I heard 25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what was in something like 17,000 of that or 7,000 of that were frontline healthcare workers.
They were healthcare workers, yeah.
And then the rest were just general punters. So it had a quarter of the capacity of the stadium.
Yeah.
But like 25,000 people, that is a fucking awful lot of people to be. And America just doesn't seem to give a fuck. It's unbelievable. We're still in the middle of a global pandemic. America still has the highest mortality rate and infection rate in the world. And yet they're having 25,000 people in a fucking football stadium. Yeah. Like,
not to put the old tinfoil hats on or anything, but it's starting to sound like we might be getting to a point where America just go, it is the flu. Like, and then it's kind of like, oh, and then the whole world will be like, maybe it is the flu.
But when the Bucks won
the parties in, around Tampa, thousands and thousands of people, nobody wearing masks, having a great time. Now, they're all probably going to get
sick. But that was it. Like, you know, and that's why everybody was like fucking calling it the super spreader bowl or whatever, because they were just like,
Florida, I don't think they wear masks.
Around the place, they're not giving a
mad Trump state, isn't it?
Florida are fucking lunatics. Yeah, so, like that's the thing. Like, you're looking at places in the States that are just like, they're just, I think they've have they vaccinated more people than have actually had COVID. I heard that stat.
Yeah, I think they're doing quite well in regards to getting people vaccinated. But
yeah, it's mental. And then
yesterday they had 30,000 new cases. Like,
yeah,
yesterday. You know, now the UK had more. The UK had 39,000, like, but total cases in America is touching 25 million, and they've had over 412,000 deaths. Like,
they're just jabbing. They're gonna just start jabbing fucking everybody over there.
I just don't get what's the population of America?
A lot.
And like, what percentage?
It's about 325 million. How many people is it?
25 million people have been in. That's 25 million cases. I don't know. Is that 10%? Is it 5% of the American population?
328 million people in the States.
All right. So I'm not good at maths. I can't work out what 25 million of 300 and something is. But like, yeah, it's maybe it's not that bad.
That's what I mean.
It's just a massive, yeah, per capita, like.
But yeah, it just seems like they just never even attempted to get a handle on it. And obviously that's because of Trump. Like,
less than 10% anyway, Vin.
You know, if you led the initiative from the get-go, wearing masks and all this kind of stuff, like, they wouldn't have the numbers they have now. But then again, as we're saying, like, it's not like Biden is exactly solving the problem either, if they're still getting stupid test numbers and stupid case numbers. Like, but it's a strange time. I didn't get to watch on the weekend. Well, no, sorry, I didn't. I purposely chose not to watch the rugby on the weekend because I had to carry half those fuckers' bags onto belts in work, and I got really annoyed at that.
Well, to get paid to do your job. Terrible,
I'm not paid to lift that.
What'd you do with them?
I didn't, but I have a bit of a grievance with URFU. I don't think I can air it right now, but let's just say for an organization full of people that can definitely lift a bag, they had one person there and they just were not, like, they should not have been, like, you know, they should have been a team. And I was like, fuck them. Fuck, it was just so much, man, traveling in the time of COVID for them. You know, like, we're talking about bubbles and how these
sports. Hold on, I don't know who you're talking about. Are you talking about an American football team?
The rugby. I'm just thinking of like, so see the way the NFL happened and all that stuff, like, for the whole year, right? The amount of shit, and I'd forgotten this because we haven't been busy in a year in work. The amount of shit just the Irish rugby team have to go and play a Six Nations match, right? And the amount of stuff that has to go right for a bubble to be maintained. It's a miracle that the NFL just pushed right through, because they have like 50 players per team.
Yeah.
And they probably have a whole lot more shit than the Irish rugby team had for every away game and home game.
I have nearly 50 people on the staff as well. With coaches and fucking everything else.
It's fucking mental. Yeah. Like, I was just impressed when I saw all the shit that the rugby team brought in. And I was chatting to the person who was in charge of checking them all in and getting all the stuff sorted. And they were just saying to me, they were like, you don't even... Like, they're basically... We are the risk in their bubble. So the rugby team are trying to bubble. But then, like, you know, you've got airline travel, all this kind of stuff. How the Six Nations and shit has gone ahead is just... baffles me, but I think they're getting tested 3 times a day or something, or 3 times a week, maybe it is.
I'd say it's 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Like, I know there was a lot of people were at the start before So last week, obviously, ahead of the weekend's games and ahead of it all kicking off, there was people in Ireland and the Irish media that were like, oh, it's disgrace, you know, like, how is this? Like, we're all meant to be, like, not doing any, like, travel apart from essential, and yet the rugby team, like, the Irish rugby team are going off to play a rugby game. How is that deemed essential and stuff like
they're
that?
They're all assholes, don't mind that.
Yeah, and at this, but my point was, for me, it was just like, yeah, but yous are all probably the same people that fucking love football. Like, you know, love soccer and, like, watching the Premier League or the Champions League and are all like, oh, yeah, well, like, you know, why aren't they allowed to play football or whatever? And they are now, and it has been running, like, successfully or whatever for how many months now after they stopped for whatever it was, 3 or 4 months at the start of this whole thing. And you're not complaining about that, like, but because you're complaining because you can't go on your fucking holiday off to whatever Tenerife or fucking wherever, that you're a tick that the Irish rugby team are going over to Wales to play a fucking game, like, you know. You're just like, oh. And then there was people being like, oh, Micheál Martin shouldn't go to Washington for St. Patrick's Day, and I'm like, it's one, like that, yeah, give or take, but at the same time, it's an important thing. It's a tradition that's been going on for how many fucking generations, where the Taoiseach of the day goes over and visits the president of the day in America and gives them a fucking bowl of shamrock or whatever.
But the money that's at risk with that is just, like, I was listening to, he was on The Last Word last week with Matt Cooper on Today FM, and Micheál Martin was, and he was chatting, and he said, how do you respond to your allegations that you're going to go to the Washington? He said, well, first of all, he said, I haven't actually said anything about that. He said, I believe it was Pascal Dunne who brought it up, and he said, I haven't said anything. He said, but you have to understand that there's X, like, he reamed off about 5 reasons, and your man Matt Cooper was like, Taoiseach, it really sounds like you're laying the groundwork for when you actually eventually have to go. And he was like, well, no, I wouldn't be saying that, you know, but, like, the relationship between countries for, you know, one fella to get on a plane. By the way, he will be socially distanced because there's like fucking 6 people at a time going to Chicago and going to Washington and going to all these places.
And nobody really wants to be around me, man. Anyway, he's a prick.
Yeah, exactly. So he should be fine. But like that, I wouldn't have an issue with someone having to travel for political kind of reasons, because when COVID goes away, all these relationships are going to have to be maintained between countries. Like, so I mean,
and yeah, and I think that, like, they have to be maintained during the pandemic as well, and they have been and all that stuff. And the fact that, like, you've got a guy that's in the fucking White House now that is, like, part Irish or whatever, like, you gotta fucking hand that shit up, like, you know, like, you gotta do what is right for the fucking country, and you can't just stop, like, you can't just stop diplomacy because a bunch of pricks say that, like, oh, you shouldn't go because they can't go on their fucking holiday for 2 weeks, like, you know.
Yeah.
I am also in full agreement that they should definitely increase the fine for people that are breaching the whole COVID thing and traveling non-essential reasons from 500 up to 2,000. I am 100% behind that, because I think there's too many pricks flying off to Dubai just for the sake of it, or lad going off to, like, there's a guy that we all know that's in the Canaries at the moment or something like that. And I'm just like, what are you doing, you dope? Like,
I need to know who that is, actually. I need to actually ask his, because I don't know who that is. It keeps getting referenced in our group and I don't have a clue who it is.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I'm just like, what is your reason? Like, I'm just, and like, oh, and it just annoys me, like, you know, and people in general that are gone, like, it's, you know, I'm just like that just kind of gets me, like, you know, people just being like, oh, well, no, fuck you, I'm going on my holiday, you know.
Well, that's what I was feeling like when I was actually making the announcements and boarding them on fucking flights. I was kind of looking at people going, what are you doing? Like, what, like,
yeah,
you don't need to do this. Like, no, there's a lot of people, don't get me wrong, like, we're a lot of the businesses turned around now at the moment to repatriating people, you know, like, it's, you know, we're getting people that are going through all these different airports trying to get home and stuff because they've been in countries for 5 months and they can't work anymore. That's completely fine. If you, like, you know, I mean, if you're from fucking France and you're living in Ireland, or you're from Algeria and you live in Ireland, you need to get home, by all means, go fucking home. But,
oh, yeah, 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 100%.
Don't fucking go on a holiday and then fucking bring poxy COVID back with you.
Yeah, I just think like, yeah, the whole 500 quid was not, people then were just including that in their holiday cost, being like, oh, okay, well, like this holiday's cost me whatever, 1,000 quid to go, so it's actually going to cost me 1,500 quid. But if it's going to cost them 3 grand, then there's a bit of a fucking difference. Then I think that'll pull people's noses in pretty quick. Like.
But most places you have to have negative COVID tests within 72 hours, right? That's 100 quid a pop.
Yep.
Then you're probably going to get fucking fined either going out or coming back. Like, people, where are people getting this money to go and do these things? Like,
you know, I think of people spend a lot of money on drugs.
I know the guards are all over the social welfare, and the guards are all over the airport last 2 weeks ago because of the McGregor fight.
Someone who was flying out this weekend. They're like, oh no, I booked fast track because a cop, they were up in the airport, and they're like, the guards aren't the fast track. I just booked fast track.
Who said
are
that?
Are the guards not at the departure rows, like driving up?
But they're also insecure. They're at the security after you check in.
Apparently, they are. Really? I'm yet to see them there, but I've been told by people I work with that they are there, yeah. But the fact is, like that, like apparently a lot of people went over to watch. Well, to just, it's so strange just to be there in Fight Island, I guess. I don't know if you can actually, I think there was an audience that actually, I think there was like 1,000 people. Was there an audience of that?
Well, in Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, McGregor's fight.
I'd say there was, because everybody does be at bars and restaurants in Dubai anyways. What's the difference?
Yeah. Well, apparently all the bars and restaurants keep closing, or they're closed now.
They close for like 4 or 5 days and little snap lockdowns, and then they're open again.
Jesus.
Yeah, but I think lads, it could just be jealousy that I'm spouting about people not going on holidays. But at the same time, I still think there's better things to be doing, and there's bigger fish to be frying than going on a poxy holiday for a couple of days.
I do think though. I think everyone's getting, like, I've had a lot of chats in different groups that I'm in and stuff, and like it is, out of all of the fucking different lockdowns we've had, this one just seems to be just getting everyone's goat at this stage. You know, it's just like everyone's kind of sick of it at this stage.
I am very sick of it.
Yeah.
Very sick.
No. Oh, yeah. 100%.
I don't think this one's going to be really long, because they're not going to let it out and then have another one. This will be the last big fucking long one. And then a certain number of people will be vaccinated, and then they'll slowly, slowly open little bits and pieces bit by bit.
Yeah, totally. But look, it's we'll keep doing this anyway, and keeping everyone entertained while everyone's locked down.
Yeah, just
depressing everybody.
We're having the crack.
Venting sessions. Just venting.
Yeah.
We should do an agony aunt episode again for Nello to be everyone's agony aunt.
I know, everything annoys
me. Every episode is kind of like my agony aunt episode, like.
Yeah.
Stop. It's because you're talking to a baby all day. The first time you get a chance to have conversation, it's just, you're like, and another thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I think we'll leave it there for this week. Thank you all very much for stopping by and checking out this week's episode of the Shoot the Risk podcast. Please do not to leave a rating and make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. We'll get your podcast fix. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We are at the Shoot the Breeze podcast. And we are on Twitter at Breeze_podcast. And you can send an out email with any of your comments or suggestions or anything that you can talk to us about to the Shoot the Breeze podcast @gmail.com. Or you can send us a message on Instagram or on Twitter. But I think until next week, guys, we'll leave it there, and stay safe, look after yourselves, and we'll chat to you next week.
Stay safe, wear a mask, don't be a dick.
Be good.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.